Today on Seculo, a Ukrainian Nazi gets standing ovation from politicians.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
You know, before you give people awards, it's always good to think through your statement, even the comments, the words you've already prepared before giving them an award. So you've got Zelensky. He goes to the Canadian Parliament to be feted as a hero for freedom and democracy around the world. And they bring forward a member of the Canadian Parliament. I think the Speaker of the Canadian Parliament brings forward an elderly gentleman.
Surprise.
Who was a Ukrainian immigrant who fought for the 1st Ukrainian Division, but had another interesting past. Let me first play you how he was introduced to the Canadian Parliament.
We have here in the chamber today Ukrainian-Canadian world veteran from the Second World War who fought the Ukrainian independence against the Russians and continues to support the troops today, even at his age of 98. His name is Yaroslav Hunka. And I was going to say he's in the gallery, but I think you beat me to that. But I'm very proud to say that he is from North Bay and from my riding of Nipissing-Temiskaming. He's a Ukrainian hero, a Canadian hero, and we thank him for all his service. Thank you.
Just thought for a moment about why this Ukrainian has been hiding out in Canada most of his life. You may have picked up in his comment that he said he was part of a Ukrainian brigade that fought the Russians during World War II. Remember who allied with the Russians to defeat a certain brigades? It was the United States and Russia who united, fighting who? The Nazis. Yes. The Canadian Parliament, with Zelensky there, recognized and gave an award and applause to a Ukrainian Nazi who was part of the SS division of the
Waffen SS,
whose job it was to hunt Ukrainian Jews and kill them.
Yes, it was. Obviously, we put the videos, we put the photos up there, but the division was known as the Waffen SS, which fought for the Nazis as its paramilitary arm under the... I'm just going to not say that word. It is organization, but exactly. You have these groups coming out of Canada. Obviously we know this, but it shows you a clear lack of understanding of history of not, they're like, oh, Russia bad.
Yeah.
Russia bad. Russia historically bad. So Russia must be, if this is a Ukrainian fighting a Russian, it must be a negative or it must be good. No. Why wouldn't this Ukrainian be fighting a Russian?
This is why the Ukraine stuff has gotten out of control. I mean, this is how it gets out of control. You start not even remembering history. If I was him, the words out of my mouth, he'd been saying that going, oh no, and not even said it. You would have questioned this 90-year-old who fought the Russians. Okay, if you fought the Russians and you're that age, you were likely a Nazi. That was just the other side to be on. And he was part of a brigade within this brigade, this Waffen SS brigade that was specifically responsible for a murder of Jews and was declared a criminal organization during the Nuremberg trials.
You don't even know how these people are walking around freely, to be honest. I mean, even beyond...
But look, this is what it's that Ukrainian derangement.
Yeah.
Is they found a Ukrainian who fought against Russians once, and but they didn't do their history right. Yeah.
And by the way, they are also not trying to cover somewhat for this. They're having to issue big apologies. It's not like we're creating some sort of right-wing, you know, or conservative spin on this. They are having to issue apologies saying, yeah, we didn't look at our facts. And they're like, but Zelensky didn't know. We wanted to surprise him. You know, it was like a big happy birthday surprise.
Yes.
Here's your fellow Ukrainian. He's a Nazi. I mean, it's not laughable, but it is. Because again, like you said, it shows a complete lack of awareness of anything historical.
They have had to, yes, they've had to apologize, profess. Will he be arrested as a war criminal? Many former Nazis have been, still are, being hunted around the world. He came right out, and he was exposed in the Canadian Parliament, feted, and everybody realized what they had done. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Secular. So we have someone joining us who's an advisor to our team, Rick Rudnell, who understands when you have events, when you're acknowledging people and when you're going to bring people forward, and whether it's in your parliament, your government, your Congress, or your country, you better know the history before you have everybody stand up and applaud them, especially when we have another world leader there. And Rick, a very embarrassing moment for Canada. This happened on a very important Jewish holiday too, Yom Kippur. And they end up unknowingly, even though they're kind of like saying it as they unknowingly do it, feting a former Nazi while Zelensky visits the Canadian Parliament. It feels like I can't make that up, but I mean, it's the truth.
Look, this is not a local government. This is not a state government. This is the federal government of Canada. That is a real problem. You got to have basic vetting. You have to know who you're inviting, especially if you're going to invite someone to speak to such a prestigious organization, governmental entity. This is really something that could have been solved with a simple Google search. It's embarrassing, but it also, I think, fits a pattern, Jordan, in that we don't see the proper vetting, I would say, from Canada. Canada has consistently gone woke, consistently gone very left, and they rush into invites, they rush into policies that I think are showing that this government in Canada needs to get its act together.
To me, Rick, as the Speaker of the Parliament there is reading this out, he's literally listing... Someone, I mean, he says, and during World War II, he fought the Russians. And you think, okay, right there, that should raise some red flags because so the U.S. was united with the Russians in fighting the Nazis in World War II. So what side was he? I mean, right alone. I mean, but it didn't stop them. It took them, I guess, that afternoon when a Jewish group pointed out who he was. And they knew exactly what division within the SS he was part of.
Look, there's no question that they knew this before the afternoon. They were racing to kind of figure out, what do they do? Is it going to be big enough where they have to apologize? But you're exactly right. I mean, people sitting in that audience, when you immediately hear what side he's on, you know exactly who he is. Any student of history would know. Anybody who's been through a history class And so make no mistake, they knew this immediately. They just took a long time to figure out the response. And look, this is the same thing that I don't think it's too much of a stretch to talk about the truckers trying to petition the federal government in Canada. This was a disaster all the way along, and they try to blow it off. There's no accountability. It's this elite mentality inside the government of Canada that thinks that they can get away with doing things like this. And to be honest, they can get away with it. The media in Canada are not holding Trudeau accountable, and we know that to be true. And we hear conservatives in Canada constantly complaining about this. But this is our neighbor to the north, who has big influence on American policy, and we need to be able to point out the problems so that they can fix these problems and concentrate on having a better government that's not so elitist.
I think the problem with this, or really sort of the thing that makes you smirk a little, is it just checks so many boxes in like one sentence in the title of things that you could say or not say or what it would be. So it's, you know, our issues with Canada, with Trudeau, and his free speech, you know, pushback. You have then all of a sudden our situation in Ukraine. And like we were talking about last week, I think a lot of people need to realize, and our government needs to realize, that American people also shift their feelings. There are a lot of people that were on board with the Ukrainian war up front and wanted to see, you know, us support it, and then said, okay, the time has moved. We've gone so long. There's no end game in sight. Let's change. Let's adjust. So we have those two words. Then all of a sudden you have the Nazi word, which is what's been being thrown around rapidly. And the difference is this time it's actually Canada celebrating a Ukrainian Nazi, and they have to own it. That's what's maybe the best part about this, is there's not a way to spin out of it for the Canadian parliament, for people. But the only spin they have is, we didn't tell anybody. It was a surprise. Yeah, that's their only spin out.
Logan, I think that you hit on something really important, which is the Ukrainian angle here. There's been a lot of talk from people that there is a Nazi active party inside Ukraine, and we've seen some of these flags, we've seen some of these specific examples, and it's very troubling because the American taxpayer is paying for this. And I think you're exactly right. Most Americans want to help the good guys, and they feel like Putin is the bad guy. But at the end of the day, giving $125 billion to a country like Ukraine that is notoriously corrupt does not immediately give you the sense that you're on the side of the good guy. Now, we need to understand that Russia's a problem. Putin is a serious problem. But there are other ways. And certainly we need to have a peace plan right now because there's too much killing. America should be on the side of a peace plan.
Yeah, I think this has happened now a few times. This even has happened to, like, the Hollywood support. You remember Mark Hamill, like Luke Skywalker, who is notoriously very liberal. Obviously a big Star Wars fan, but he did a big Zoom call with a bunch of people in Ukraine. And behind him were...
Behind the other people
he's talking to are these, what you say, Nazi symbols of Ukrainian militias, if you will, or organizations. He obviously was unaware, but again, it's this like good and bad guy scenario that it's gray. You know, it can't always be that cut and dry.
Yeah.
Can I add one thing to this, which is really important? I've been talking to U.S. senators who are very concerned about the intelligence agencies and trying to figure out who's paying for this. Is it American dollars that are going to pay for some of this, troubling, deals that have been done? Clearly, the Ukrainian military is cutting deals with all sorts of groups to help them, and yet American tax dollars should not be going to fund Nazi organizations, even if those Nazi organizations are somehow aligned with the Ukrainian government against Russia, against Putin. This is a terrible situation, and I know that the Senate is looking into it feverishly.
Final question for you, Rick, is we're hearing about a lot about the government shutdown, how they kind of play politically, but what we're being told, and I think this is why people get upset about these shutdowns, doesn't matter what side you're on, is that they're saying they're going to shut it down, but they will exempt the Ukrainian funding. So that's not a real shutdown if you can still get money to a foreign government, but yet Americans won't get their checks.
Yeah, look, I think that government shutdowns are really dicey because there are certain American people that need to be paid. The military certainly needs to be paid. We've got to figure out our border crisis, and we certainly can't stop paying Border Patrol agents. And I think every American understands that in these short government shutdowns, that the federal bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. get a vacation, and they always get their back pay. So they get a vacation plus their back pay. We've got to figure out a better system in that when there is a government shutdown, that there are consequences, not just days off.
All right, Rick, as always, we appreciate all of your insights. This, again, just a shocking story of just bad planning, bad work done. And we thank you for everything and all your insight. Logan, I think, too, these government shutdowns, when you hear that, you say, but we can still fund the Ukrainian war. This gets exactly your point. People would say, well, how is that possible? If the government shuts down, doesn't it have to shut down? And what you realize is the elites can keep paying for their wars. Yeah. You just won't get your Social Security check on time.
Yeah, I think the idea of a government shutdown, the way that we've been doing this, is just a waste and annoying and pointless. And I'm sick of it, truthfully. I think that it's an empty threat. What you're doing, you're shutting down, some monuments? I mean, we got to get beyond this kind of thing in the United States of America, because like you said, if you're able to carve out exemptions and all this, then what does it matter? We have to move forward. That's what we're going to move into in the next segment. We're going to talk a lot about that government shutdown that's coming in and what the taxpayers, where your money is going to go, what happens to it during it. I think people need to understand the concept of a government shutdown when you are just a year out from a presidential election, when you are 2 days away from a Republican debate that's happening. There's so much happening when you hear the looming government shutdown. What does it actually mean? We'll break that down coming up in the next segments. But we are going to take your calls if you have questions about that or the situation in Ukraine or the situation in Canada. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. So again, and I want to remind you as well, if you were listening and you weren't able to listen on the Friday show, we've added a third state in defense of your right to vote in those 14th Amendment cases. We're about to add a fourth. We added West Virginia and their GOP as a client, and filing there soon. And another state we're right on the edge of being able to announce as well. I said that Friday. So we're up to three states. And listen, there's going to be these challenges in multiple states. Some are going to get dismissed very quickly. Some might be amicus briefs, but in these, we are taking the cases head on. And of course, that first one out of Colorado that has been moving through the pretrial conference phase is moving most quickly. But again, we take these very seriously. This includes resources at the ACLJ to protect your right to vote. And it's because of you, our supporters, who donate to the ACLJ. We don't have to think twice before taking these cases on because you support and donate to the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Secular, we are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Like we talked about a little bit with Rick Rendell, just the end of that interview with Rick, is that in the midst of a potential government shutdown at the end of this month, which is rapidly approaching, it's just this weekend, don't worry, your funding to Ukraine will continue, but your grandmother may not get her Social Security check.
Yeah, I think people need a breakdown of not only how that works, but even how the government shutdown works to begin with. What gets them there, and then what does it actually do? What does it actually cause the American people?
So it usually works in phases.
And why? Why do we even have this system where the government even can shut down?
They don't pass the budget. So if they don't pass the budget out of Congress, which has the power of the purse, on time, then they can't pay their bills. So they can't pay their bills, and they haven't authorized the money. So what they're telling you here is that they are prioritizing a foreign country over Americans. I don't know how that plays well to anybody on either side of the aisle, Republican or Democrat. I do understand some of the concerns and issues that Republicans have with these budgets and these out of control spending when there's nothing being done on the border and the money's going to Ukraine. But see, it's interesting to me. When a government shutdown occurs, the Border Patrol won't get their paycheck on time, but the Ukrainians will get their check.
Yeah. I think that this is where the American people have to look at the situation and realize how absurd the entire shutdown process really is. I think that's something we need to take a look at from a much broader point of view. Let's go ahead. You want to go ahead and take a call?
Yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully this encourages you to call, by the way. And their phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. We'd love to hear from you on this Monday. Elizabeth's calling on line one, watching on YouTube. You're on the air.
Hey there. I just wanted to say I'm personally sick of funding this Ukraine war, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are about us continuing to fund this Ukraine war. I hear the Congress people saying, you know, we have to continue funding this war. The president says that, and China's watching. And I just feel like it's just a matter of time before China invades Taiwan. Then we'll have to be funding two wars. So I'm just wondering kind of what your thoughts are about continuing to fund the war.
Listen, I think without an explanation of how this war comes to an end, you have to question the funding. I think, Logan, it's like you said, you couldn't really find a person in a country who didn't say that we should do something first to try and prevent this conflict. Then the Biden administration really wasn't doing anything. All they were doing was telling us that war was coming.
Right.
So they already failed there by preventing the bloodshed from beginning and the invasion. This is the second time Biden has been part of an administration that has allowed Ukraine to be invaded. But then when we started funding Ukraine, it wasn't clear, and still is not clear, how do we get to an end. And when John Kirby was asked about it last week, he said, well, this isn't the same kind of end game because U.S. troops aren't fighting this. But U.S. dollars are, and it is hurting the U.S. economy. I mean, inflation is up, gas costs more, people are hurting here at home. And because there is a war going on in Europe that we are the number one funder of. And you can't tell, the only thing you can tell us is, well, we don't really need an end game because U.S. soldiers aren't getting killed.
Right. You're saying, well, we're not really directly involved. I mean, that's always the answer, it seems like. Look, I know there's a lot of people who are also watching right now. And maybe you want to call in. Maybe you heard that first segment where you heard the issue in Canada where they were celebrating, honoring someone who fought. Ukrainian who fought against the Russians. Was that right now? No, you're talking about someone who fought against the Russians in the 40s in World War II, which means what? This was a member of the Nazi party. This was someone who fought for the SS. How does that make you feel? Maybe you have family who fought. I mean, obviously, if you did fight in World War II yourself, if you're a vet listening, there are still, I think quite a few still out there. But if part of your family is there, we'd love to hear from you too, 1-800-684-3110. Just really the disrespect and the lack of American history, or even North American history, world history, with what World War II meant, who was on whose side. And it can't be this, Jordan, it can't be this black and white where you just hear buzzwords like Russia and you think bad, Ukraine, you think good. And historically, that's not how it's worked for anywhere in the world, by the way, not just in Russia or Ukraine. You're talking about most areas of the world have had times where they are the good guys, if you want to be, and maybe the bad guys on the other, depending on how history is defined.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so I think that this has been, this whole issue, and the American people
have not had the opportunity to hear from our leaders a clear message of why. And I think even people, even Republicans who have been supportive about Ukraine, that it's really, you know, they could say all they want, but they're not in charge. So it's what you really need is you got to hear from Biden himself a sell on this.
Yeah.
Why are we in this for the long haul? Why are we in this with no end in sight? Don't tell me, don't worry because no U.S. troops are getting killed. I mean, ultimately, you are draining the U.S. economy. So what is the purpose of draining the U.S. economy? What is your end game here? Is it, like Donald Trump said, just as people stop getting killed? That doesn't seem to be the end game. The end game seems to be more offensive into Russia. The end game seems to be, and I don't even like to use this word, but it's one that Washington loves, Logan, regime change.
Yeah.
And we don't even know what regime change in Russia would look like.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go ahead. I want to take this call. I think this kind of ties into. Let's go to Bill, who's calling in Indiana on line three. You're on the air.
Yes. It's my understanding that when the U.S. government gives funding to another country, that it goes through the State Department, of which the Agency for International Development is a part of. And since the embassy closed in Ukraine, how is the money that all these billions of dollars, how is it being distributed to the government in Ukraine?
Let me tell you something. The U.S. government has no problem in figuring out how to distribute money for your taxpayer dollars. So if they can't go do it the normal way, which might be when the embassy is open, it is. I think our embassy is back open in Kyiv, or we may have relocated it. A lot of times, sure. That's what you do is you relocate. This is military to military. So I mean, there's more. This is not just non-lethal aid going through some State Department program to build schools. This is weaponry going from the Department of Defense and being delivered by U.S. aircraft, typically into Poland, and then taken across through with trucks and different transport vehicles. But I will tell you this, and no doubt, Bill, they will always figure out a way to get your money to another place. Don't ever worry about that. That's why they've said that even the government can shut down.
They'll still do it.
But Ukraine will still get its money.
They'll keep that person. Like the guy working security.
Border Patrol won't get its money.
Yeah, Border Patrol won't. The guy working security at the Martin Luther King Monument.
Oh, yeah, the trash starts piling up. Yeah, I love that too. Congress has to like stay at work and the lights are off and like the trash piles up because they can't pay the people to come in and throw trash. But literally, some guy who's in a neo-Nazi Ukrainian group is going to get his military equipment that he needs.
It's insane. Hey, we're taking more calls, 1-800-684-3110. We have a second half hour coming up. We're also going to discuss, which I think a lot of you are going to find very interesting, a new poll that's come out. A new poll coming out of ABC that shows a pretty significant, I mean, this now we're talking beyond the margin of error kind of numbers for this coming 2024 election. You're going to want to stay tuned to hear this one. I think you're going to be pretty surprised. Maybe you wouldn't be surprised if you're one of our listeners, but the fact that ABC put this out, and of course, what they had to do to even backpedal themselves. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Also, Jordan, we are in the middle of all these 14th Amendment battles at the ACLJ, and we will make sure people know how to support.
That's right. You go to aclj.org. We are close. We're only 7,000. Actually, we're less than 7,000 away now. Signatures on our petition to secure the right to vote, to beat back these 14th Amendment challenges. Less than 7,000 signatures away from hitting that 100,000 mark. Remember, my dad said that the first day, before we even engaged the cases, they wanted to hit that 100,000 mark. So we need you to share it with your friends and family. Doesn't cost a thing to join that petition. And Logan, that is very important. Yeah, just a few thousand away.
Just go to aclj.org. On the right side of the screen, you will see a petition button. Sign it. Really simple, takes you a few seconds. Over 93,000 of you have already done it. We want to hit that 100,000. Let's try to do that today. Okay, you can do it. If everyone listened, did it right now, we'd be well over aclj.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Switch to a little bit back politics here in the United States, Logan. A new poll out.
Yeah,
not a Fox News poll.
No, a couple new polls, yeah.
It's a Washington Post ABC News poll and an NBC News poll. And they're already denying that their own polls are good, by the way.
Yeah, I love in it. They're like, you know, this could be an outlier. Don't freak out just yet.
Joe Biden trailing Donald Trump nationally by 10 points.
10 points. Now, I have to say, we obviously know historically how polls are, so they're not necessarily wrong. But this is starting to become a big number and a big wake-up call potentially for Democrats to figure out what they're going to do in the, for the next year. How you rebuild a Joe Biden brand leading into what is starting to become the margin of error starts to become smaller and smaller when it becomes 10%. And that, again, came out of ABC News. Also, there was a disapproval rating coming out of 56%. That one's the one that came out of the Washington Post, ABC News, and NBC News. But the 44% of ABC News said they're worse off than they were for any other president since Ronald Reagan. It's a really interesting numbers to see. There's a bunch if you break it down, but the big ones show that they are unhappy. And right now, in a head-to-head, you would have President Trump defeating a President Biden by nearly 10%. We are obviously a while out. You're a year out still from that even being something we discuss. But it is should be alarming. It should be a wake-up call. That also comes on the heels of people like Gavin Newsom and all that still trying to kind of they're still keeping their brand alive.
He's showing up
and he's doing stuff. Oh, yes.
He's going to the Republican debate.
He's a smart guy. You know, I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but from political strategy, and I think his state is a complete nightmare right now. He's showing up at interesting places. He's making interesting statements. He's vetoing interesting bills. That happened all last weekend. He's vetoing things that would become historically very left-leaning, but is making some statements that maybe hopefully can siphon off some of those moderate liberal voters if it comes around where they say, we are so behind in the polls, we have to do something, and maybe you throw it to Newsom. I don't see that happening still, but it is crazy that you have that big of numbers. What do you think about that? That President Trump is up 10%. And again, ABC says, I don't know. You know, this is our poll. I mean, this is from Washington Post. I'll read it to you. The Post ABC poll shows Biden trailing Trump by 10 percentage points at the early stages in this election cycle. Although the sizable margin of Trump's lead in this survey is significantly at odds with other public polls that show the general election at a virtual dead heat. The difference between this poll and others, as well as the unusual makeup of Trump and Biden's coalitions in this survey, suggests it's probably just an outlier. But they still had to report it.
Their whole poll that they funded in their whole polling department was a trash.
You're right.
We're trash. They trashed their own people because it didn't fit the liberal narrative that Donald Trump can be easily beaten, so don't worry if Joe Biden is the candidate. He can win from his basement again.
Now, what I will say is flip that also and don't be the person who takes this as, we're going to win.
Yeah.
Because that happens too.
They're national polls, so this is not, you don't win elections that way. You got to win states to get electoral votes.
Yeah, we have a Bald Beagle children's video that I think a lot of you guys need to watch about how that all works for a lot of people who don't really still understand the
Electoral College.
We break it down pretty close. And, it was called right-wing extremism by some bloggers and things. So I think you'll
like explaining
it. Yeah, just the fact that we said the Electoral College, maybe not a bad thing.
Oh, that states have representation?
Yeah, that because maybe if you lived makes in a small, it a little
with,
fair.
Yeah, if without it, if you lived in a state with a small population, you wouldn't get it.
Yeah, it would be controlled by New York and California. I mean, that would be maybe a little Texas here and there.
Florida, depending on the time period.
Yeah, exactly. But really, LA and
East Coast
and New York.
West Coast controlled everybody.
Yeah, we all know how that would go. Well, we're going to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Those cities are both thriving right now. We know that. 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard on the air. We'd love to hear what you think about these polls. Do you see this in your local community? Is your local community showing signs for President Trump? Or are you, Broadway for Biden? I watched part of that special that aired this week, which just felt sad. You know, you had the biggest stars on Broadway out there for the first big fundraiser, and there's just something about it that just feels universally depressing. Give us a call. Love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org, and we'll tell you why in detail coming up in the next segment.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Secchio. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to be on Sean Hannity's radio show talking about Menendez a little bit. He gave a press conference earlier today. And people, listen, I've got questions about the timing of the indictment, but he also did a press conference. It was some bizarre statements.
Then I didn't see it.
He always takes out cash like that. So you can always find him with $200,000 or $300,000. But he said that, and this is interesting, because he's got family in Cuba and occasionally needs cash to help them out in situations. I'd have to fact check that. Will's fact checking it now. You want to hear the bite?
Sure.
Yeah, we can play it.
On Friday, the Southern District of New York brought charges against me. I understand how deeply concerning this can be. However, the allegations leveled against me are just that, allegations. For anyone who has known me throughout my 50 years of public service, they know I have always fought for what is right. My advocacy has always been grounded in what I learned from growing up as a son of Cuban refugees, especially my mom, my hero, Evangelina Menendez. Everything I've accomplished, I've worked for, despite the naysayers and everyone who has underestimated me.
So he talks about this, and he actually said in this press conference, the reason why he made that cash withdrawal, it was like or the reason why they found it in his jacket, $200,000 or $300,000. Which again, is that illegal on its own? You can have money at your house too.
It's a lot of cash.
But it's a lot of cash. He says it's because he's still got family in Cuba and occasionally they're in situations where cash is their only way out. Yeah. I don't even know if that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I mean, his parents came to the U.S.
I mean, so it kind of sounds like a fairly reasonable.
Sounds more, a lot more. Reasonable then. I mean, if it's true.
If it's true,
which I've always said about
this. It's a good excuse.
The obsession on Bob Menendez, I've always thought it was because he takes some stances that don't fit with the Biden and the Obama team, especially when it comes to Iran.
Yeah. If your family comes out of Cuba, also likely that's probably going to be not currently where people stand. So let's go ahead and take a couple of these calls. Let's go to Bill, who's calling in Wyoming, watching on ACLJ.org. Bill, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm really concerned or confused. Let's put it confused. I keep hearing snippets about maybe Michelle Obama running, you know, even as a surprise insert on this. But can you guys give a take on that?
I think that, and Jordan, I'm sure you'll have answers. I think that they are keeping their, you know, toes in the water for a just-in-case situation, to make sure there's some credible names ready to go if something happens.
Yes.
Because look, we've seen Biden. I don't think there's any harm in saying this or anything mean about it. He is not a young man. This man in his 80s. Anything can happen to any of us at any time. But it's more likely to happen to you when you're in your, approaching your 80s and in your 80s. That's just life. So whether that's a medical issue, whether that could be that they just convince him that he can't win, so they come up with a reason for him not to run. I think both Newsom and Obama, and I actually lean more towards Newsom. Michelle Obama, I feel like each time they say that, she does something, and then I think even she personally isn't sure if it's really where she wants to go. I think Michelle Obama would be a lot harder to beat than even a Gavin Newsom, though. Gavin Swaff.
Yeah, I mean, I still think the later it gets, the more unlikely it is that it would be a non-emergency move.
Yeah, we're less than a year. We're right at a year, essentially. Year and a half.
Yes, not even a year and a half. More and more like you're going to have a very weakened Bernie's kind of style of the Democrat primary. And yeah. Vice President Harris is in the middle of it, too. I mean, I think you just can take her out. You can't just take her out.
Right.
I think there's a lot of voters.
Pretty bad if you did.
I think there's a lot of voters who would be pretty upset. I mean, say talking about black women.
It should be. Yeah.
If you just said, well, she doesn't get it just because she hasn't been really a good speaker. I think part of the problem, she hasn't been a very good speaker, she's had to defend this administration who keeps giving her the worst jobs. What's the newest job they gave her? Guns czar. Yeah, I mean, she doesn't even know what a gun. She could, when she tried to explain, Biden tried to, and I think Biden, he fought alongside, I think, that Ukrainian Nazi, right? You would have said, say something like that.
Allegedly, yeah.
No, yeah. I was there in that panel, and he stormed Normandy.
He always makes a lot of claims.
Yeah.
A lot of claims.
Like he was at Normandy.
He may believe
he's old. He's not old enough to be not old enough to be at Normandy.
I mean, he'd be young.
But, he talks about guns the wrong way. Now they make her the head of guns, the head of the border. They're the head of things they literally don't know anything about. It's like, they're like, well, what do we want to give her? Let's give her the worst topics possible. Guns, which we don't understand anything about, though all of us are protected by them our whole lives, by many security guards and officials, both as a senator and a vice president, and the border, which we're not funding. I mean, I think they had 10,000 people this weekend at the southern border. 10,000.
Yeah. It's like topped multiple states in the amount of, saw that number going around, that post going around, that the amount of people that have migrated is more than two or three states of population.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's wild. You watch the videos. I mean, you have all these live shots. I got to give it up to, obviously, Fox and to CNN and a lot of these media organizations that are going down there now with their cameras and just watching. And I think that's honestly the best way for you to do it. Don't even watch it isolated when you're like, well, look at these people running through a neighborhood. Just go watch when they go live. And it's just, like, happening. That's the wildest to me. In plain sight. And again, there's a human side to this. There are people asking, when the guys were getting, kids or the adults were getting stuck in barbed wire, and you had Border Patrol agents obviously helping them out of the barbed wire. It's like, well, yeah, well, they're human beings still at some point. And human beings aren't going to let other human beings just die. So that's not how we do things here. However, there should be some kind of process. And unfortunately, the process seems like, get them, process them, all right, we'll talk to you in a few months. It's still a mess down there. And that, I'd say, is one of the more intriguing things to watch, and really the most eye-opening, is just to watch in plain sight.
Yeah, every time they get live.
Daylight.
Like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Like, that's the thing. In your head, it's like,
there's 30 migrants always, like, showing up.
Yeah, in your head, you think it's like late at night, crossing the Rio Grande, like, you know
coyote style.
Right. Or like, think about Cuban immigrants that are, on rafts trying to get there. You know, that's not what this is. Like, you have to kind of reframe your mind onto what this actually crisis is and see what even we can do about it when there is a situation and when you have a Biden administration.
I do love this from Harris, so I have to play it. Okay. When she made her announcement. Let's take a listen.
I didn't hear it.
Hey, everybody. So I have some big news to share. We are announcing the creation of the first ever White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention. And we are doing this work in large part because of the activism, the organizing, the marching, the voting of all of you leaders, be it students, parents, teachers, community leaders, who understand that living free from gun violence should be a right. So we're going to work on this together. We're going to continue to fight for reasonable gun safety laws and for the ability of all people to live their best lives free from fear, free from violence.
There's a tone.
I think it's mainly tone, because if you read that, if I'm just reading it, it's actually fine. Like, there's no, there's nothing I find objectionable about.
I'm going to try to take away your right tone.
But no, the idea of, we have a gun violence issue, let's not pretend that that doesn't exist. I mean, we know this, we've felt it here locally. Yep. And we're going to, and she even said common sense legislation, those kind of things. It's not necessarily that bad of a statement. You're right, it's the performative side of this always comes off like she doesn't know what the next word is going to be on the teleprompter. You know, like, oh, it's like, it's always a surprise.
Yeah.
You go back to the Bob and Doug got into a spaceship. They went up 20 stories. They got loaded in. The engine started going and they blasted off. They did it. Remember, like, there's always those things. I love a school bus. Like, again, like you just don't know what's coming. But I think you're right in the fact that she isn't even being mentioned is alarming. It should be alarming to even the Democrats, being like, your VP, first African-American woman ever in one of these, you know, as a member of that high in American politics, a vice president, is like being just forgotten about, potentially for Gavin Newsom, the whitest dude ever. I mean, just like just a, like, straight out of, like, let's cast a guy who looks like a swarmy president. Who would it be? That guy. No offense to him. I mean, a little. But it is like, that's who you're going to go with? That's the Mr. Progress here?
Yeah. He looks... I don't like making fun of people's looks.
No, I'm not. Look, he's very well crafted.
Well coiffed?
Yeah. You know, he's like a Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Like enough gray in the hair, but not too much. You know, it's just what it is. It's just the truth. But the fact that he's being the one floated out there, instead of a top tier vice president who you're currently serving, is really showing a bit more of the truth of what's going on right now in the Democratic Party. We're going to take your calls coming up in the next segment, though. We do have a lot of you guys on hold, but we have a few open as well. So you can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's how we'll wrap up the show. We also have talk a little more about the Menendez situation. We got a little video from you.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll show that coming up.
Okay, kind of like American Psycho look to him.
You know Gavin Newsom?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he could have played.
Yeah. He's, what, Christian Bale? Who? Christian Bale? Was he American Psycho?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that look. He's got a Christian Bale early 2000s look.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like he could be one of the sharks on Shark Tank. You know, he's just sitting there going like, let's make a deal, you know.
And I'm going to take
him. Him and Robert Herjavec are just hanging out. I mean, it's kind of similar. Yeah. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
to Secular. We are taking your calls soon. 1-800-684-3110. You never know what's going to happen over the weekend, Logan.
Yep.
There was some LL Cool J talk.
Yeah, I was just reading that. LL Cool J, what was he at? He was at some sort of event with President Biden. LL Cool J, you know, rapper, been around forever, actor. I mean, he's in his mid-50s at this point. There was a quote. LLJ Cool J, by the way, that man's got bigger thighs, or bigger, got biceps bigger than my thighs.
But you know he's got little thighs, Joe Biden.
Well, yeah, one, that's not that impressive. And two, I mean, what a weird thing to say.
Yeah, I know. He says weird things.
Yes, exactly. That man, that boy's got biceps bigger than my thighs.
It's hard to even say because it doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm the one having problems not reading it. All right, let's go ahead. Let's take some phone calls.
Now, can I play Bob Menendez?
Sorry, Menendez.
I was even giving him too much credit. His new line, which I guess I get, we have older folks listen to this broadcast. Maybe you do this. Maybe we're just younger and you don't have that much cash around or would feel uncomfortable with that much cash around. It wasn't that Bob Menendez still has family in Cuba or that he feels like there's a crisis, but that because his family left Cuba, you take a listen, Bite 22.
Third, for 30 years, I have withdrawn thousands of dollars in cash from my personal savings account, which I have kept for emergencies and because of the history of my family facing confiscation in Cuba. Now, this may seem old-fashioned, but these were monies drawn from my personal savings account based on the income that I have lawfully derived over those 30 years.
I mean, that's going to be the key. You could make a big deal. The FBI, listen, they always try to make a big deal about, they found cash.
Yeah.
Lots of Americans have cash in safety deposit boxes and at their homes.
Like, if anything, I agree with him. I mean, I look at it and go, yeah, if you come from Cuba, you've seen what's going on currently in America.
If you have
the ability to keep hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash on you, God bless you. I don't know if I really care. If it's legal, if it's not like what they're concerned with, which is bribing and whatever the gold bars are and all of those things, that makes it a little bit sketchier. But
Do we take calls?
Sure, we can do that. Let's go ahead. Let's go to Ann, who's calling in Maryland. Line one, you're on the air.
Hi. Yes, thanks for taking my call. I just have a comment. And earlier we were talking about, what are people talking about locally? What are they talking about? And so I just wanted to share a comment about in my area of the neighborhood, out at the mailbox or barbecues or and things like that, just what regular folks are saying. And one, I think they're saying that they support Donald Trump. And number two, they and myself, we're saying we do not believe the liberal media. We just don't believe them. So that's my comment.
Yeah, I think that, listen, the media itself has got a time to crisis. Logan, they put out a poll. The poll doesn't fit their narrative, so they have to tell everybody, don't trust our own polling.
Yeah, the polling said that 10%, it was a 10% swing that Donald Trump would beat Joe Biden. And then ABC had to say in their own statement, essentially, that this could be an outlier. This probably isn't something to take seriously because they know the concern is there and they have to fit their own narrative, even if it's their poll.
White House saying, why are you putting out polls showing us 10 points down?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a little bit of interference there. Let's go to Ray. He's calling in New York on line three, listening on the radio. Ray, welcome.
Hi. I had a question about the whole government shutdown. I wanted to say that literally we're $33 trillion in debt, and our government's basically just spending funny money. If they just keep spending, well, there goes our future. So you know what? Just let them eat crow. Shut down the government, and you know what? Hey, it is what it is.
I mean, it depends on who you are, though. I mean, I'm not against the idea of, one, the threat of the shutdown of the government. If you could do it quickly, but it hasn't usually worked for the party who has done it, for the party who's responsible for the shutdown. It does not usually help them politically. Now, I'm not saying you should make all decisions based on politics. Second thing about that is, it may be okay for you, Ray. Maybe it doesn't affect me so much, but it can affect your parents if they're relying on a Social Security check. It could affect veterans relying on the VA. So some of that is scare tactics because the money isn't gone immediately. Yeah. Most of the time, the shutdowns don't even last long enough to where any of that goes into place. But it's why you need to be prepared with a clear talking points that you can get out there and tell people why those imagery that I'm talking about doesn't happen immediately. And the fact that they can exclude Ukraine from a shutdown, that to me is, that's funny money too. That's not a real shutdown, Logan.
Yeah.
A real shutdown means Ukraine wouldn't get any money either.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I want to show a video real quick. We were running out of time to show up, but we're going to show a video Jordan put together, kind of giving a big summary of the Menendez situation and why you should be a little alarmed. Let's take a listen.
The left will always go after one of its own, especially if it helps the party win. Here's what I mean by that. The Obama and Biden DOJs were and are weaponized against political opponents, and we know even against conservative Americans. The IRS targeting the Tea Party, the DOJ labeling concerned parents at school board meetings as domestic terrorists, the DOJ targeting traditional Catholics, something the ACLJ is investigating right now. The list goes on. But their abuse of the justice system is not contained within partisan lines. The DOJ's legal arsenal is now being used to indict New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez and his wife on bribery charges. The couple is accused of pretty bad things, taking hundreds of thousands in cash and luxury vehicles and even gold bars in exchange for political influence with several New Jersey businessmen and the foreign government of Egypt. And yes, it's easy to draw comparisons between Menendez and the accusations about Joe Biden and his son Hunter. We know the corruption runs deep, and two separate standards are applied. But with Menendez, the DOJ wasn't suddenly struck by an ethically driven lightning bolt, giving them all a sense of duty, honor, and justice. So the question remains, why is the left looking to cannibalize one of its own, and why now? One possible political motive stands out. If we look at Menendez's history with the DOJ, Jack Smith, yes, that Jack Smith was on the team that ended up indicting Menendez in 2017 on similar charges and went to trial. After the jury was deadlocked, the DOJ yanked this case in January of 2018, and Menendez went on to handily win re-election in New Jersey. But let's go back even further to 2015. Remember Obama's infamous Iran nuclear deal? Menendez was one of four Democrat senators to vote against it. Now fast forward to today. And we find a desperate Biden administration that just needs a win. And a new deal with Iran is expected to be coming down the pike soon, except the Democrats' slim majority in the Senate cannot afford four detractors this time around. If following this DOJ has taught us anything, it's this. Whenever it appears to be doing its job, like prosecuting real possible corruption, it probably isn't actually doing its job. There's likely another politically slanted motivation behind their actions.
Dang it, not defending Menendez. But I do question, because they've gone after it before and lost. It was Jack Smith. They lost. It does seem they're a little obsessed with him, because, and they're back on the Iran issue. They can't lose. So, I mean, again, I don't know wrong or right, guilty or not guilty. But what we do know is he's beat them once before on the exact same kind of charges. And he's getting a lot of pressure to resign from Democrats. He's so far, he's beaten that before in the past. I don't know if he's going to be able to beat that survive that this time. But they do seem obsessed with him, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, I want to tell everyone, appreciate you guys for calling in, for commenting, watching on social media, listening on the radio. We really appreciate it. Because without you, we cannot fight for the issues that matter the most. And we are right now needing your help. We have the 14th Amendment case. You've heard us talk about this. It's all over the country. And we are only a few thousand away from hitting over 100,000 subscribers. Or 100,000, I'm sorry, petition signers. And we want you to be a part of that right now. I'd love to get there by the end of the day. I think it's very possible. If everyone listened right now and watching right now would go and do it, we'd be over that. We are almost to 94,000 right now signers. We need you to be a part of that. Go to ACLJ.org, sign the petition right now against this 14th Amendment challenge. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.